In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dear faithful, this season of Advent, in which we now find ourselves at the halfway point, somehow, how did that happen? And it is likely that a large number of us have not even properly paused a moment to truly consider the beauty and the mystery of this season. I know for myself that I wish I had spent more time doing just that already. We can sometimes get caught up in this little world of our resolutions, which are good and even necessary. But if we think only of this Advent season in terms of some particular aspect of our own sanctification, some virtue we hope to make progress in, then our appreciation of Advent will remain compromised. It's important to insist on this note of mystery during Advent. It's all about the coming of our Lord, a coming which is both simple, it is one, and it is threefold, mystically. And Dom Prosper Granger talks to us about that this Sunday. He teaches us, and St. Bernard of Clairvaux teaches us as well, that this first coming of Christ is when he came in the flesh and weakness as a helpless infant. In his second coming, he comes in spirit and power, and in the third, in glory and majesty. This is to say that in the first coming, he was born into this world in the flesh. In the second, he's coming to us now in our souls when we're in a state of grace. And in the third coming, he will come to pronounce the general judgment, the final judgment before the entire world. His first coming was in Bethlehem, and it has long since passed. We are now living in the era of his second coming in this sense, provided that we live in accord with his precepts, that we keep his commandments. Remember, he told us that if we love him, he will come to us and abide with us. We have to admit that the second coming we speak of here, that of Christ's presence in our souls, is a matter of uncertainty for us, or at least never totally certain. For in fact, who except the Holy Ghost knows beyond any shadow of a doubt who is in a state of grace and who is not? We see here the need for a great distrust of self and an absolute trust in God, an absolute confidence in God. Those who truly love virtue and are willing to put to death the desires of the flesh for the desire of God. The third coming of Christ is very certain in one sense and very uncertain in another. Nothing is more certain than this. One day, each of us is going to die. When that day comes, on the other hand, it's completely unknown to us. Usually, those who manage to convince themselves that they have finally achieved peace and security in this life are the first to be surprised by the unwelcome visitor of their own demise. Just as a woman with child can never be sure when the pains of childbirth are going to strike, we see then, the first coming of Christ was peaceful, it was humble and obscure. The second, mysterious and full of love. And the third, at the end of the world, majestic and terrible. In his first coming, Christ was judged unjustly, and he was judged by unjust men. In his second, he is justifying us by his grace. And in the third, he will judge all things with a perfect justice. In his first coming, he comes as a gentle lamb. In the last, as a lion. And in between the two is the dearest friend of our souls. It is therefore during this season of Advent that Holy Mother Church awaits the mystery of his first coming as the infant of Bethlehem. The longings for the Messiah expressed by the Church in her prayers are not just a simple commemoration, of the longings of the ancient Jews before the historical birth of Christ 2,000 years ago, but have a real efficacy all their own. From all eternity, the prayers of the ancient Jews and the prayers of the church ascended together, in a sense, before the throne of God, and it was after receiving and granting them that he sent this mystical dew upon the earth, which caused it to bud forth the Savior. And the words of the prophet Isaiah in chapter 45, verse 8, so often chanted during this blessed season, Rorate cheli de superet nubes pluant justum, drop down dew, ye heavens, and let the earth bud forth a Savior, express this desire. The church also aspires to the second coming of our Lord as the consequence of the first. This coming takes place each year on the feast of Christmas, when the new birth of the Son of God delivers us from the bondage of the devil. The church therefore prays during Advent that she would be visited by Christ, the heavenly bridegroom, and visited in every aspect of her existence. She prays that the members of the hierarchy would be strengthened in the discharge of their office and in the teaching of the Catholic faith handed down from the apostles. She prays that her members would be visited by Christ, both the living and the dead, and that even those who are not yet in communion with his church, even infidels, would be visited by Christ to receive the grace of conversion. The church asks for this threefold coming of Christ because, had he only come 2,000 years ago, but no longer not coming to each of us alive today, and even at each moment of our lives, well then his coming in the flesh would have been in vain. And yet, this annual coming of Christ at Christmas is not enough. The church is not satisfied by it. She sighs after his third and final coming at the end of the world. The church longs to see her deliverer, her spouse, Christ the Lord, arriving upon the clouds in judgment. This is the sense of these words from the book of the Apocalypse in chapter 19, verse 7. The nuptials of the Lamb are come, and his wife hath prepared herself. But this longing for Christ does not change the nature of his third and final coming. It will be a day of terror, a day at which the church trembles, because all mankind will be tried. The elect will be separated from the reprobate. It will be a day of wrath, this dies irae of which chants to us the Requiem Mass, a day on which everything will be reduced to ashes. The church, of course, does not fear for herself, strictly speaking, on this day, because she knows that this will be the day of her vindication, her being forever secured from evil, the day of her crowning. But her maternal heart, however, is overcome with sorrow at the thought that so many of her children will be found on the left hand of the judge, destined to eternal perdition. This is why the liturgy during this Advent season so frequently speaks of his coming as a terrible coming, and why she employs language in her prayers the most calculated to shake us from our torpor, our false sense of security, not to paralyze us with fear, but to ignite a salutary and saving fear in our hearts. But on this Sunday, Gaudete Sunday, the words of St. John the Baptist remind us that there is one coming after him who is greater than him. Indeed, he is already coming to us. Even at this very moment, in the grace of conversion, this invitation to conversion that he is pouring forth in our hearts. That, principally, this is why we rejoice on this Sunday. May we therefore heed his call without delay. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.